17, the scary episode.
Hello, everyone.
We're Kayla.
And Silas. And this is The Adventures of Kayla and Silas, a podcast about everything travel. And tonight, everything scary. Each week, we cover travel topics we find interesting and that we hope you will, too. Kayla, are you ready for the scary episode?
I mean, I feel like it's probably not going to be that scary, but we'll see what happens.
You are the worst. So it's almost Halloween, and we thought it'd be fun to do a scary episode. And since our episodes come out on Wednesdays, we decided to release it the week before rather than the day after Halloween. Just made a whole lot more sense that way.
Did it? Or did you just need something to talk about this week?
So first up on our list is an article that I found that is entitled, or is just titled, is titled Seven Historically Haunted Houses to Visit. And this was kind of a fun read through, some pictures of the places and just some fun little ghost stories in there. But there was one that stood out to me that I thought would help set the mood for tonight's episode. And I'll read the description from the article. We'll have the full article for you to read in the show notes. But this was the one that stood out to me. Another home where a gruesome murder took place is the crime scene. Let me start over.
You made it so scary and then you couldn't read.
And then I was bad at reading. Another home where a gruesome murder took place is this crime scene turned hotel. In 1892, Andrew and Abby Borden were found axed to death in their house, and his daughter, Lizzie, was tried, but eventually acquitted for the crime. The house is now a bed and breakfast, where you can stay in the John V. Morse room where Abby Borden was murdered. It's even decorated with crime scene photos, according to Lee Ann Wilbur, manager of the inn. I always say it's a nice old Victorian house that has issues, she told Today Home. In the last 13 years, she said she's seen lights go on and off and the furniture switch places. While she slept in one of the rooms, she said she saw a rocking chair move from the left side of the bed to the right.
Your throat's gonna hurt after making that voice.
Ooh, so scary. That would be actually pretty creepy if you woke up and you saw furniture moved in the room. But also, I feel like you especially are so tired in the morning that the whole room could have changed with furniture and you would have just zombie walked through all of it and been don't talk to me, it's morning. That's how you would react.
Yeah, but if I physically saw it move in front of my eyes.
Yeah, that would be weird.
That would be creepy. But to say it was here when I went to bed and now it's here.
Yeah.
I would just mistrust my remembrance of the evening's events.
Yeah, I would go,
must have probably gotten up in the middle of the night.
Probably was really tired yesterday or whatevs.
Well, that's scary. So you can go actually stay in the room where this woman was murdered.
Yeah, there are a lot of places.
And they think she was murdered by her daughter, but her daughter didn't actually get charged.
Charged with murder. Yeah. Who knows who murdered whom in that situation? But there are a lot of places like that where you can go and you can stay in the ghost hotels of the Americars.
I would rather stay, at a Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Old buildings don't tend to have the amenities that new buildings do. Whether or not they're ghosted.
I'm just saying.
Is that how you use that?
They're ghosted.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to pay extra money to stay in a creepy place.
I'll go visit a creepy place.
Yeah, with other humans.
You don't want to go visit a creepy place?
I would go visit a creepy place with other people.
But not by yourself?
No.
You wouldn't want to sleep there?
No.
Why not?
Well, two reasons. One, I'm cheap and I wouldn't want to pay to stay somewhere like that. And two, no thanks. But I have a story I'll tell a little later.
Okay.
About my few encounters with the creepy.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. We'll build a little suspense and let our listeners also wait for the creepy story from Kayla. But first, a few creepy stories from Silas.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about a couple of places that we've both been / scary stories that we've encountered in real life. For me, I haven't actually been to a lot of places, so sorry, anticlimactic here. I've been to a lot of old castles and old buildings where they say, oh, there are some ghost stories about this place, but that's about the long and the short of that. Like, I haven't actually gone to a place, I haven't gone to a lot of places actively seeking out scary locations / ghost stories.
Like, that wasn't your sole purpose, but if you ran into a story about something, yeah.
Right, yes.
That's how I feel, mostly.
And they were such fleeting parts of the tours of the places that we were going to that I have blocked most of them out of my memory as far as the details of them.
Yeah, I would say I've probably been to, a dozen or so places that have similar histories where something interesting happened here once long ago.
There was a murder and then ghosts.
So for me, the first one that comes to mind is my college campus. Okay. So we actually had like whatever that TV show is where they come out and they like bring equipment and they're looking for ghosts.
Ghost Hunters? International Ghost Hunters? Which one?
Are you confusing House Hunters with Ghost Hunters?
Are you confusing the name of the show that came to your campus? Because
no.
Ghost Hunters is a real show.
And Ghost Hunters International?
There are a lot of different Ghost Hunter shows.
Okay, well, it sounded like House Hunters International.
Hunter shows. Let's see, Google. What do you have for
us? It was one of those shows.
Ghost Hunters, TV series from 2004 until now.
Okay, then it was that one.
Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel.
I'm just making fun of you saying Ghost Hunters
International.
Best paranormal
reality shows. Oh, here we go. This is going to be a good list. We'll include this in the
It's unimportant.
Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, The Dead Files.
Okay, that's enough.
Paranormal
Let
Witness,
me tell my story.
A Haunting. Wow, there's so many. We'll include this list. This is a good list.
Of okay. ghost shows?
Well, people who are listening to our scary episode want to see lists of scary shows they can watch later.
I don't know that they do. Anyway, so the story at my college is that there was a girl who lived in one of the older buildings on campus long ago, and in the middle of the night, she accidentally, or was pushed, we don't know, over the third story railing mm-hmm. and fell all the way to her death on the first floor because they built stairs that way.
That's not fun.
In that building.
How long ago was this?
Like 100 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And
so I don't know her.
I don't think you know her.
Okay.
And to this day, there are stories about things, weird things that happen in that building. That building's actually where like admissions lives.
Oh, sure.
And then there's like some event spaces in that building. And upstairs on the third floor, they keep this girl's bedroom intact.
That's.
Is that weird?
That's not necessary.
Because I went up there one time and like admissions had like a bunch of t-shirts like up in this dead girl's bedroom.
From 100 years ago.
Well, I mean, I think it's changed a little bit.
Wait, how old were the t-shirts?
The t-shirts are new.
Oh, okay.
We were getting those out to hand out to prospective students. So the show came to campus because supposedly there's some other kind of creepy stories in some of the freshman dorm buildings as well. And so they were all over campus. I have no idea what happened because I'm not interested in anything like that. So I didn't pay any attention. But I feel like, you don't have to go too far sometimes to find some creepy stories. I remember my freshman year, some of the boys who lived in the other freshman dorm talking about like noises and stuff that happened where this other student died in this other building.
Yeah.
And they were staying in the same room. Yeah. True story.
Weird. That's some weird stuff.
I mean, their story might have been made up, but it's true that I heard a story about there being noises and creepy stuff happening in the other dorm.
I'll believe you this one time. So a place that I got to visit was in high school. Mm-hmm. And this was my one real encounter with a scary house on purpose.
Okay.
I would say that I saw ghosts, but I didn't. And I would say that something scary happened, but nothing did. It was a class field trip.
Oh.
Which is...
Where'd you go?
I have no idea still why they were like, let's go visit this house. I think the the teacher was just like, nah, I don't want to teach today. So this was in Southwest Iowa, and the name of the house is the Villisca Axe Murderer House.
That's what they call it?
That's what they call it. It's the Villisca Axe Murder House. So you can go there and get tours. I don't think that it's something you can just like drive in and be like, I want a tour. I think you have to call ahead and say, I would like to set up a time for a tour. And then the nice little lady who owns the place is like, oh, well, let me see if I can get something together. I think it's one of those setups. I could be wrong, though. There might be more info about it. But I have a link here, and there's some videos. I haven't watched these videos yet. I think it's the following series of videos contains graphic depictions of murders. And, oh, so there's a whole series of little videos here that talk about the murder. So you can learn more about the actual murder. But in this house, Kayla?
Yes.
There was a family, and they had been at a church social, and on Sunday afternoon, and then they, was it that they went to the church social, and then the next day, people went to their house, and they were dead?
Okay.
Like,
what's
murdered.
The church social have to do with it?
It was like, this was an activity in town, and so everyone knew that they were all right before that, like, before the murder. It wasn't like they knew exactly when it happened. It was like over one night. And I think that it was a family and like some kids were sleeping over too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this family and their kids all got murdered.
I feel like I've heard this story. And like the kid, their friends got murdered too.
Yep. And it was
Why are their parents letting them have a slumber party on a Sunday night?
That's what makes me wonder if it was Saturday night.
Church social. They didn't show up to church.
No one
and then
showed
people
up.
Went.
Yeah, people went looking for them. I think
those
that's
church,
what it was.
Those church friends will.
They'll look out for
you. They'll look out for you. I might be too late, but they'll.
But they'll look out for you.
They'll send someone to your house.
Find the remains anyway. So the actual tour of the house, though, the people talked about, there was like this one pantry area, and they said that dogs will always, if dogs come in, they always come and start barking right in that doorway. Always. And so they think that there's
like drugs hidden in the floor.
That's what I questioned, but they say there are spirits
it's
there.
It's like paranormal.
Paranormal.
Got it.
Things happening.
I really don't understand this entire like realm of
paranormal activity.
Yeah.
Well, just, there's three or four movies, maybe four or five movies now about it.
I haven't watched
those. Paranormal activity.
No, thanks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
I don't
six.
Like scary movies.
You always say you don't like scary movies, but I have never seen you watch one, so I don't
exactly.
know if you actually do. It's kind of like you and vegetables. You say you don't like vegetables.
I know.
And yet I've never seen you eat one, so.
That's false, but anyway, I digress.
So that was one of the times that I did seek out an actual.
So I have
actual scary place.
I have one story kind of like that.
Okay.
So also in high school.
Yes.
I also went on a field trip, except it wasn't so much a field trip as it was like a choir trip. And so we went to New Orleans, which is quite a ways from my high school.
Okay.
But while we were there, we did a walking tour in the French Quarter, but it was like a nighttime ghost walking tour.
Ooh.
In the French Quarter.
That's very fancy.
And so I say it's like your trip because A, we were both in high school and that was forever ago, so I'm not going to remember any details at all. But B, it was like I didn't choose or seek out this activity. It was like forced upon me. It was part of our itinerary already.
Sure.
But I do remember it being quite interesting and us walking around the French Quarter and they talked, you know, they'd point out these certain balconies and tell stories about all the creepy stuff that's gone down. And it was really fun, actually. And I also distinctly remember. So if you go to New Orleans, I imagine this is similar in the South, but I just don't know. Their cemeteries are raised cemeteries, so they don't bury.
Oh, sure.
They have like cement, big cement things that hold remains of bodies.
Yep.
And so they were talking a little bit too about how kind of creepy the cemetery could be, which to me would like be really creepy because you literally could hide behind things
oh, yeah.
on a scale that's not possible in Iowa, because in Iowa, the tombstones are generally quite small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and cemeteries are already kind of creepy, but, like, this concept that someone could, like, jump out from behind somewhere, it really freaked me out. I didn't like it.
That is scary.
And those are literally all the things I remember about my trip to New Orleans at 17.
That's the only thing you remember? You didn't get jambalaya or listen to jazz or anything else? You did nothing besides get partially scared by a walking ghost tour?
I have very few memories of that.
Moving right along.
Yeah, I have a bad memory.
The next thing that I want to talk about isn't really... Well, I'm going to bring this up first. I'm going to switch around a little bit here. I wanted to bring this up. Did you ever do the haunted Hannibal ghost tour in Hannibal, Missouri?
Not the Hannibal the way that it's spelled here in front
You're
of
me. So rude.
No. Is it like in a cave tour?
Well, there is the cave tour, but then there's the haunted Hannibal tour, which is separate. And so you can go into the cave.
We went into like...
And then, but it also goes around the town. So it's like a lot more involved.
We did a cave. We did... Is it Mark Twain's house that's in town there? I remember doing that.
I just ask about it because I was trying to think of things that you would have been able to go do. And I know that I went to Hannibal, but you lived much closer to Hannibal and was there.
Growing up, yeah. More often than I was. We just did like a one day. The summer my grandpa was really sick, we were going to do a bigger family vacation, and we ended up just doing like a Saturday in Hannibal because it was close, and we hadn't really done the touristy parts of Hannibal.
Right.
But I don't remember a ghost tour. So.
Well.
But it was like July.
I remember that part of, they kind of did a teaser for the ghost tour with a story in the cave, and this was kind of a creepy story. It wasn't necessarily related to ghosts, but it was creepy that this guy who was like a town doctor or town scientist person, when his daughter died, he shoved her in a tube, like a metal, long metal tube.
Okay.
And put her down in the cave trying to petrify her body.
Oh.
I don't remember why he was trying to do that.
So we should probably explain for people who don't know that Hannibal, Missouri is like the home place of Mark Twain. Yes. And so the caves we keep referencing are often called the Mark Twain Caves. I don't know if that's their official name, but it's quite an elaborate cave system.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
And
super cool to go down and get a tour. And
the caves are mentioned in some of his books, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's also then right along the Mississippi River, so everyone knows the story of the raft down the river or whatever as well.
What is that story, Kayla?
The raft. Huckleberry Finn, right? Right?
So, anyway, right? He has the tube, and he has his dead daughter in the tube. Mm-hmm. He didn't kill her and put her in the tube. She died of natural causes of...
It's not like he did something creepy to her.
Right.
Except after the fact.
After the fact.
Yeah.
And he said he was trying to petrify her remains.
Is that the same as like what the ancient Egyptians did?
No, that was mummifying.
Okay. Like petrify, he wanted to turn her into a rock, a human-shaped rock.
I don't know why. But I think he had his reasons, but I don't know what they were. But the weird, creepy part was that kids would go down into the caves as like their playground.
Yeah.
So they would go down there and explore, and some kids found the tube with the body and brought younger kids in to tell them ghost stories and then pulled her head out from the tube to scare the little kids, which was effective, apparently.
I think you might be triggering some memories of mine from my cave tour. That's creepy.
That's weird, isn't it? That's really weird.
Someone's telling me a scary story in a dark cave, and then they like pull out a human head.
Yeah.
That would do the trick. I would never go back in that cave.
So the last little thing that I wanted to touch on here, only other scary type travel experience that I've ever had was when I was in Amsterdam in undergrad, and I was there during Halloween. Surprisingly, not scary. I thought that there'd be like some kind of big party and festival, even though it's not.
Is Halloween an American holiday, though? I think we have a ghost in the room.
We have a ghost in the room. No, I think it is a, as far as I can tell, it stems from Dia de los Muertos. Am I saying that right? Day of the Dead.
Oh, it's connected to All Saints Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dia de los Muertos and All Saints Day. And it's connected. The way that we celebrate it is a culmination of some different holidays from around the world and some different lores and myths and celebrations and traditions. And so I don't think that the Netherlands,
I'm looking into the geography of it.
Okay.
Because I think this is kind of interesting. Observed by Western Christians and many non-Christians around the world is the like blurb.
But I
know some religions actually purposely don't celebrate Halloween.
Right. Sure. I just thought that Amsterdam is a big party town with lots of celebrations and festivals, and I feel like they would have a lot of fun in that city making it a big party, but nobody cared. I looked around and there were online listed, there were two or three places we could find that were having Halloween costume competitions or parties or things. And the Americans that I was with, they all dressed up. Well, several of them did. And that was the end of it. So anyway, we're dragging out a story that has.
Well, from what I can tell, Halloween does happen in a lot of different places, but it seems like the North American influence is the greatest.
Yes, I believe that.
And yes, it's connected to Dia de los Muertos, but in Latin American culture, it's a little bit more tied to reverence for deceased ancestors. Stuff
right.
Like
it's
that.
Not. It's not set up to be the way that we have it as a big scary day, right?
Well, I would, yeah, or like a candy celebration,
right? Or a candy celebration, right? Yeah, no, it's more about.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been somewhere interesting over Halloween.
Yeah, it's.
I generally travel in the spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
So, moving right along, we wanted to touch on, kind of, pull this into travel a little bit more than we have so far. And talk about travel terrors.
Ooh. Scary travel stuff?
Scary travel stuff. Like lost luggage or being dragged off of a plane, which has happened in the last year.
Yeah, that's scary and actually a thing
actually
that
a
happens
thing.
Now in 2017.
Another thing that I have listed here, like honestly, one of the scariest things for me thinking about it, not something that I personally experienced, but one of the scariest things for me thinking about travel-wise is the outdoor scary things that could happen. I'm talking
about...
Did
you just see the story out of California? This couple went hiking and they just found their bodies 3 months later. And they had done like search parties and all of this stuff. And I actually, you know, I didn't read the full article as I do, but it looks as if the boyfriend or husband shot his significant other and then shot himself because they were in such a dire situation. But they said there were all these like water bottles and wrappers essentially led them to their bodies. So it's as if they were like starving and dehydrated by the time that they took their lives.
Oh my gosh.
Like this incredibly terrifying story, right?
Yeah, this is stuff that's really scary to me.
Right, like, you know, your phone dies, you don't have cell reception, and then your phone dies.
Yep.
And then you can't find any help, and you only brought so many snacks or so much water along with you. And yeah, I just saw this story.
Or like when we were in Yellowstone, and they were talking about bear attacks.
Bear maulings.
And how this, what was it, the... played dead, and then the guy threw his bag and got absolutely destroyed by the bear. I think I'm mixing a couple stories.
Yeah, I think you're mixing up two stories, but there was a couple, and they didn't have bear spray, which is essentially like fancy pepper spray for bears. Yeah, the woman played dead, and her husband bled out.
Yeah. Oh, her husband got attacked. They both ran.
He got attacked first.
And
which running isn't the thing to do with bears. But I feel like if I was facing a bear without bear spray, I would have, my brain would just be like at like completely blank and I wouldn't know what to do. So it's hard to tell what, I know they say don't run, but what's the alternative?
Stand there.
I guess.
They say that you're supposed to make your shoulders really broad and you're supposed to get as big as you can and just, you know, have a stare down with the bear. And
everything we heard, though, sounds like it's pretty rare as long as you're talking with other, a bear attacks have never happened in Yellowstone for groups of larger than four.
Right.
Because when you're in a larger group, you make more noise and bears tend to avoid humans.
Yep.
Anyway. But no, I'm with you. Like that kind of stuff. That's the reason why I wouldn't want to do like tent camping in bear country.
Right.
Or
those things aren't super intriguing to me because of some of the risks. Like you see these people who climb Mount Everest and I don't know, like part of me thinks, yeah, that'd be awesome to say I climbed Mount Everest. And then the other part of me is like, yeah. And then I've seen all these mountain climbing movies where people get up there and it's like
avalanches and stuff like that.
So,
yeah.
So that's,
we're not extreme sport people.
Yeah, not really. The most extreme sports that I like to play are on Xbox. So, but some real life stories as far as real travel terrors that I've experienced. One is for me. I'll go first, and you go. But I have taking the wrong exit. Oh my gosh, that was horrifying. I've done it a couple of times with other people. One time I was driving with someone and they took the wrong exit and I told them they took the wrong exit and then argued with them for 3 or 4 miles about how they took the wrong exit before they decided to turn around and go back the way that we were supposed to go. It ended up not being a big deal that time, but
yeah, I think taking the wrong exit story. Well, I do have one story about it though that is funny.
No, this is a scary episode.
Oh, I mean, it's very scary.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say we took the wrong exit, but we were in Germany, in Cologne, and my dad was driving, and we kept following the signs to the parking closest to our hotel, and it just kept taking us back around in a loop, and then back around in a loop, and then back around in a loop. And about the third time around, we're like,
How scary.
Because we thought we kept missing it.
Did you feel like you were in a Twilight Zone episode?
It was a little bit like that because we're just like, well, we're looking for the parking. These signs are taking us to the parking, but they never actually did.
Yeah.
And so we had to finally give it up and find a different parking lot.
That does remind me of a Twilight Zone episode, though, where this person is driving down the road and they see this hitchhiker and they don't pick up the hitchhiker, but they keep driving down the road and 5 miles down the road, they see the same hitchhiker on the side of the road. And then they drive past them again. And then the person's on 5 miles down the road again. The person's trying to get, it's the same hitchhiker. And it just keeps, it's the same hitchhiker. And this person's trying to drive home. And then roads are closed and they have to take back roads and they keep seeing this hitchhiker. And they.
That's really creepy.
And then they finally get to a place where they can stop and they can call home. And they can call for help and they call home. And they say, so-and-so there? I need to speak to so-and-so, her mom. Mm-hmm. And the woman who answers says, oh, I'm sorry. She's very, very ill. She says, she's ill? What's wrong? She said, oh, well, she hasn't been the same since her only daughter died. And she goes, she looks at the phone and then hangs up and goes and hops back in her car. And then the hitchhiker is in her back seat.
Really?
Yeah. The hitchhiker was deaf. She was dead already.
What Twilight Zone's about?
Twilight Zone is about just weird stories that make you a little uncomfortable. Then sometimes they're just weird stories that you're like, well, that was weird.
I have not seen that show, obviously.
Obviously. So a time that I took a wrong exit, though, that was
Is it when you were driving scary. The big truck?
Yeah. So my dad and I are driving a moving van down to Texas to help my brother move down there. And
like a semi-truck size truck.
It's massive, 22 feet or something like that. It was huge. And my dad was like, oh, I'll drive the whole way. It'll be great. I'm going to drive the whole way. It's like a 14-hour drive down there. I was like, Dad, It's a really long way down there. Are you sure you don't want to trade off every couple of hours? And he says, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Well, he about, 9 hours in, he goes, oh, I don't feel great. Can you drive? And I was like, ugh.
But it was like right at dusk.
It was right at dusk. And we were just 20 miles outside of Dallas-Fort Worth. So I haven't driven this truck at all. And then my dad's like, do you mind driving now into one of the highest traffic densities that we're going to encounter the entire trip? And also a town that is constantly under road construction, constantly. And I was like, yeah, no problem. Thanks for this opportunity. And then my dad, my poor dad, is not great at giving directions when he's looking at his phone. And so I'm like, where do I go? And he's like, just stay on this road. And I look up ahead and it splits like two or three different ways. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, just stay on here. I'm like, stay on here what? He's like, just stay on here. He's just looking at his phone saying, stay on here. I'm like, what does that mean? And we end up taking the wrong exit and adding another, 15 or 20 minutes to our trip.
Which is ridiculous, by the way, because to get to Austin,
yeah,
from the Midwest, you just stay on I-35.
It should be easy, but when you get into Dallas-Fort Worth, at that point, the road split and became like
But you should have been able just to follow 35 through, right?
I should have been able to, but I knew that it was like it was splitting, and I didn't know how many lanes were available, and right. There was also lots of traffic around me, and so I wasn't able to merge soon enough. And I wasn't able to slam on my brakes because I didn't want to cause an accident, because that would have been really scary.
Well, the traffic in Dallas is awful.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad. To be fair.
Anyway. Kayla, what do you got?
Well, I like that you chose my travel terrors for me, but you came up with some good ones. So the first one is that when I was in Tanzania for a summer, I had the wrong visa, which was a travel terror because...
That's horrifying.
Well, first of all, I didn't know I had the wrong visa. We were following the directions of kind of a...
A kook, right?
Yeah. We ended up... We were volunteering...
A scam.
We were volunteering... It wasn't so much a scam. We were volunteering through an organization that apparently didn't want to pay to be recognized in Tanzania as an official organization, because in order to have volunteers come and to have them be able to get visas... They have to know your official Tanzanian organization number. And this person had never filed the paperwork to get those numbers.
Yeah.
So she had just told us to come into the country as tourists. We didn't really question it, because a lot of times if you're in a country for less than 90 days, regardless of what you're doing, you can get away with a tourism visa.
Right.
So we didn't ever really question it. We didn't think about it. No one asked us any hard questions at the border. We just paid for our visa and we got in the country. And then like 8 weeks later, maybe, my friend and I had gone somewhere. We were gone for the day from the little village that we lived in. And yeah. These immigration officers had apparently come out in search of us.
Very scary.
Yeah. And then when we got back... This woman, who by now, 8 weeks into our time, we kind of realized was a little bit of a joke.
Yep.
Her whole operation. Like, what we did was fine, but, like, the organization had a lot of issues.
I love how you keep referring to it as an organization. It was one woman who'd set up this weird thing.
Well, I could go on for hours about how awful right. This whole thing was. But I'm trying to keep it
quote
a little
unquote organization.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it a little succinct.
Everyone can hear the air quotes as you say
organization. But I'm not kidding. I'm pretty sure, because then her and her boyfriend, which is a whole other part of the story, her and her boyfriend disappeared for like 4 hours after we got back, because we got in a fight with her because she was trying to tell us what to do about the immigration stuff. Like, she wanted us to give her our passports, and she was going to go take care of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, because she was Canadian. I was like, you're not even from the U.S. Like, why would I give you my United States passport and expect that you can go represent my interests?
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to us, so we never gave her our passports. But apparently, what we think happened was her and her boyfriend went and paid off the immigration officers to just leave us alone. because we left a couple weeks later. We didn't have any problems getting out. But, like, God, we could have been in a jail in Africa because this woman gave us the wrong information. Like, we had no ill will, you know. And the only reason we kind of put all of this together later on was because we talked to a guy from Tanzania who works a lot with Canadian, American, European volunteers.
Yep.
And he was explaining the whole situation. And we were like, we didn't know anything.
That's crazy.
Which is so silly. Like,
yeah.
We would have paid more. We would have done the right things had we known there were other things to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
But to this day, we believe very strongly that she went and paid off immigration, which is just unnecessary if we had had the right information to begin with.
Yep. So, moving right along.
Luckily, I'm not rotting in a jail in Tanzania.
That's what I say every day. Luckily, Kayla's not rotting in a jail in Tanzania.
Could have happened.
The next story that I have to share was when I got off the bus at the wrong stop.
The train?
In the middle of the night. No, it was a bus.
It was a bus?
Yeah. Great laugh, Kayla.
This is such a dumb story, though.
It's a scary... Kayla.
Oh, I mean, it's such a scary story.
It's a scary story.
That could have easily been prevented.
Yep. So, I was visiting an undergrad. I was dating this girl who studied abroad at the same time as me, but we studied abroad at two different locations in Europe. She was in Italy, and I was in Wales. And two or three times a semester, we said, let's pick a destination that's fairly inexpensive for both of us, and we'll fly there and get to hang out a couple times during the semester, which would be really fun. Well, we went to Germany, and Frankfurt. Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Went to Frankfurt.
Just like the least touristy city in all of Germany.
It was the cheapest flight that weekend. Literally, I think I spent £20 on the flight via Ryanair to get to Frankfurt. So,
you mean the Ryanair airport?
The Ryanair
in Frankfurt.
Yes, which neither of us knew or understood or had looked into at all. And
so Ryanair mostly only operates out of teensy tiny airports, but they'll call it Frankfurt, whatever.
Yep.
And then some entrepreneur has set up a bus to actually get you from the airport to Frankfurt.
Yep.
We did the same thing when we went to Barcelona, but we knew that we were going to have to pay another £10 or whatever once we got there to take the bus to the airport
to the
city center.
I was like, oh gosh, we are an hour outside of Frankfurt. This is horrible. Because as we're flying in, we see Frankfurt. And then we don't see another city for a while. And we're like, oh, well, that must not have been Frankfurt. Nope, it was. And then we land in what felt like at the time, because it was the middle of the night, that we were flying literally into just the middle of a cornfield somewhere. And we get into the airport and I go and I ask someone, where's Frankfurt? And they're like, oh, that's like an hour from here. And I went, whoa, how do we get there? And they said, oh, there's a bus right outside. And I was like, oh, I have to pay for a bus. And we got out there and it was €3 a person. I was like, oh,
that's easy.
€3? This is super easy. I'm not worried about this at all. So we get on and we take the bus and we're talking and we're sharing stories. And then we get to this well-lit town area and she's like, all right, let's get off. And I was like, well, is this the right stop? And she's like, well, don't ask them. That's embarrassing. And I was like, embarrassing? It's not that big a deal. And she's like, don't talk to them. Please don't ask them. You're just going to embarrass me. And I was like, okay, fine. We'll just get off here. And we got off and we were still 30 minutes away from Frankfurt, which we didn't find out until after the bus was gone. So we're in wherever is 30 minutes away from Frankfurt. And we go to the taxi driver and we say, can you take us here? And they said, that's in Frankfurt. And we said, we know. Are we not in Frankfurt? And they said, no.
So because you already had a hotel reservations or hostel reservations.
Yes. Yep. We had a hotel reservation. So we were going to go to Frankfurt and stay at our hotel that we'd already booked rather than just trying to find something else in wherever town we were at.
Right.
So we go to try and get a train to no avail because we see the last train and I'm like, oh, we can just hop on. And she's like, oh, we'll get a huge fine if we don't have a ticket. I'm like, I think that the person will understand. And we can just pay them on the train. And she said, no, 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 it'll be a big fine. It'll be horrible. And I said, okay, fine. And so we watched the last train drive away. And then that was our only, I was like, well, we can sleep here until the morning and get tickets and then go to Frankfurt. And she lost it and just started bawling. And I was like, okay, I'm not dealing with this all night. So I went back out to the taxi driver and I said, how much would it cost us to take the taxi to Frankfurt? And she said, like 90 euro. And I said, all right, let's go. And so I paid her like 90 or 100 euro to take the taxi all the way to
the
Frankfurt.
The distance that you'd already paid three euros to go.
Yep. So that was scary because of the money loss and because of the fact that we had no idea where we were. It ended up being not that scary at the end. It just was more frustrating. But I mean,
the moral
also
of the story
very
is
scary. Ask. Just ask people.
Just ask. It's okay to look embarrassed for 30 seconds.
So that you save 90 euro.
And when you're in a different country in particular, you probably already look like you stand out. Yep. So, and especially once you open your mouth, you will definitely stand out. So I do get this way sometimes too, though, where, you know, I want to know already on my own how things work.
Sometimes.
And
you are like this all the time.
I know, but I do feel like I'm more okay with asking questions.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you know that there's money to be saved.
Well, that especially. All right. So I have one more scary story. And then I think we're probably wrapping things up here. But the first ever time I went to Africa, I went to Uganda. And we flew Emirates Air, which is actually quite a nice airline. But we had to fly from New York to Dubai and then Dubai back to, I think, Entebbe. And our flight from Dubai to Entebbe had a stopover, which I don't know if these actually still exist. But for those of you who remember a decade ago, when planes would stop in different cities and you didn't get off the plane, it wasn't like a connection. It wasn't a layover. It was a stopover. Some people would get off. Some new people would get on. But most of the people would just stay in the plane. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That never happened to me, no.
Yeah. I think it's probably quite rare. But this flight had a stopover in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. And we fly in. Some people get off. Some new people get on. But I was with this like huge like volunteer group. And so everyone who I knew, who I cared about, was still with us, right? And so
right.
We go to take off. We're heading to Uganda. Super excited. We're going to do some stuff for people. And we're literally, I don't know, as we're accelerating on the runway, the plane starts shaking. And it's like to the point where we're all like holding on to each other, holding on to armrests, holding on to the chair in front of us, shaking.
Yikes.
Like terrifying. And then we feel the pilot react like, nope. Something's wrong. I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
And so we almost left. We almost went off the runway because we were going so fast by the point when he decided to abort the takeoff.
Yep.
That he had to like slam the brakes. We almost went off the runway. It was this whole thing, right? And so then clearly something was wrong. And we are informed that Emirates Air, the airline we flew with, didn't have like a ground crew in Ethiopia.
Oh, gosh.
Because I think at most airports, you know, they would take our plane away. They'd give us a new plane and we'd continue on or whatever.
Right.
Or they would have mechanics and people on site who can do certain things.
Yeah.
So the captain tells us, but we have an engineer on board.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Who's going to fix the plane?
Oh, gosh.
And so I'm not kidding. They brought out snacks and drinks. They were just entertaining us for hours. I think we were on the runway for 4 or 6 hours while they tried to fix the plane. And not on the runway. They like took us somewhere else and then fixed the plane. But we were in the plane while they were working on it for like 4 or 6 hours. And they finally get back on and they're like, all right, the engineer fixed the plane. And if it makes you feel any better, he's going to be on this flight as we take off again.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we're all, like, saying a silent prayer, saying prayers out loud, like,
oh, man.
Holding hands. And we took off just fine. We got to Uganda just fine.
Yep.
But albeit very, very late. But the whole thing at this point in my memory is just like, I don't think that's a normal situation.
I don't think it is.
And I've had a lot of weird airplane stories. Like, I also had a time when one of our engines failed, but they didn't tell us that while we were flying. Instead, as we're landing, this was in Germany, as we were landing, there are like, I would say somewhere in the realm of like 20 to 30 emergency vehicles. So ambulances, firefighters, and police like chasing us down the runway, like,
oh my
like a movie almost.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out my window like, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Wait, are they following us? You know, like, wait, are they following us? And then once we landed, they explained what had happened. And we're greeted by all these people when we get off the plane who are like, are you okay? And it was just so weird because they're like, well, yeah, we didn't actually know anything was wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we're fine, I guess, now.
Scary.
So aborted scary takeoff stuff. And failed engine. Those both happened to me within just a few years of each other. But ever since I met Silas, I've had really good flying luck. So I feel like he's my good luck charm. Yeah, knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Scary, scary stuff. This was a very scary episode.
We shouldn't scare people out of flying, though.
No, that was the point of today's episode.
Oh, okay.
This was the scary episode.
Yeah, that's not normal stuff.
So, that's our show. Yay. As always, we ask that you leave any questions you have in the comments section below, or if you have a specific question, feel free to email us directly or connect with us on social media. Our email address is kaylaandsilas@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest by searching Kayla and Silas. You can also find us on iTunes, and if you want to leave us a review there, that would be awesome. It helps other people find our show. Once again,
I'm Kayla.
And I'm Silas, wishing you luck with your upcoming adventures.